Hi, I'm Aiden.
And I'm Don Carlo, and you're listening to Binge Watchers,
where we talk about everything TV.
Everything?
Everything. Tune in as we discuss a new show every episode.
And we'll decide if it's binge watchable.
This is Binge Watchers.
Hello everyone. Welcome to Binge Watchers.
Binge Watchers.
Season 3. Yay.
Yeah, season 3, man. This is pretty nuts. We have been on hiatus for a little bit.
Yes, we took a little hiatus last semester because, well, Aiden and I were very busy and school was not, Spirit Live at least, was not yet in person to record in the studio. Yes, if you can hear our audio, we are not using our busted Yeti Nanos.
They have a lot of spunk, though.
They have a lot of spunk. Yeti. No, I honestly, I'm proud of what we accomplished in the first two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, we're back. We're getting there. We're almost back to normal, at least for now. So yeah, really good.
It's pretty awesome to be in studio now.
Mm-hmm.
When we and DQ first envisioned the podcast, we wanted to do this in a legitimate studio.
Yeah.
Like, we both have rented out this place, and it was fun doing it at home because it's kind of thing we could chill and stuff.
Yeah.
But being down here in the studio, I mean, you can even tell how much better the audio.
Yeah. Listen to our audio. Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have masks on as well. So the audio quality, if I take my mask off like this, I mean, the audio quality is just pretty, pretty pristine.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great to be down here. And it's a chance for me and DQ to, like, actually see each other in person.
Yes.
We don't really see each other. I mean, do I talk to you very often?
We talk to each other often, but it's been a long time since we've seen each other in person before this semester.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we only saw each other once, I think, in 2021.
Yeah, that's nuts. But that was, height of COVID season. It wasn't it wasn't fun, but it wasn't fun for a lot of people. Like, mm-hmm. it's just, COVID's pretty, it sucks.
But...
And especially for, university students like us,
mm-hmm.
who do a lot of, practical stuff.
Exactly.
Not being able to come into the studio really... blows. Okay, so crass.
It blows. Yeah. It blows hard.
But the good thing is that studios have opened up. We're going to start doing it in studio.
In studio for three episodes.
For three episodes, absolutely.
Yeah. And the reason why our season is so short this year is, or this semester, is because Aiden and I have big news. We have a lot of big updates.
We do.
Regarding our courses. So if you remember from our previous episodes, we are both RTM media production students, mm-hmm. and back when we first started, we were just starting second year. But now we are starting third year.
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, for our third year, we have to take this course called Project Development.
Mm-hmm.
And that is basically, how would you describe it? Like the pre-production process of our thesis?
Of our thesis project. It's a little stressful.
It's a little chaotic.
A little chaotic. But... the benefit is that I'm in a group with you.
You ruined the surprise.
Oh, that's the... Oh, whoopsies.
No, it's okay. I was about to do some big, drum roll. No,
whoopsies.
No, but basically what that course is if you want to, you can pitch your own project. And if your project gets chosen, then you can work on that project for the whole semester and possibly for your thesis project in fourth year, mm-hmm. for practicum.
Yeah.
And... knowing us, Aiden and I, we both are go-getters, so we worked hard to get our pitches in.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, my pitch got chosen, and Aiden is now in my group, which is amazing.
I am his producer.
He is my producer.
I am.
He's my producer.
It's a lot of fun. But yeah, it's been... We're doing... Our show's called Vibe Check. It's going to be... We're doing a pilot episode.
Mm-hmm.
And we are really... I'm really, really excited to work with you, DQ. I think it's going to be a ton of fun.
Yeah, let me give our listeners a little sneak peek into Vibe Check.
Yeah, do it.
So Vibe Check is a show that I created that I'm really passionate about. And it follows four queer POC... Asian Canadians, mostly, living in downtown Toronto in a communal home. And if you guys don't know what a chosen family is a concept important to the queer community where whenever queer kids would get kicked out of their homes or feel like they don't belong in their biological households, they would find other queer people to find solace in and to find a family in. And that those are essentially called your chosen family. And I essentially took that concept and applied it to our modern Gen Z society. So that's what Vibe Check is essentially about. And they all live in a communal home together. It follows four friends, similar to shows like Sex and the City, Girls, and a show that we will be talking about today, or we will mention today, and we might have talked about in our, if you remember our last episode, the finale of season two. So shall we just get right into it, Aiden?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
I will say, though, I am very, very excited to work with you. I have been friends with you for, like, the past, holy smokes, 3 years. It's kind 3 years. It's been
it's
a hell
counting
of a
on to 3 years, yeah. Since Frosh Week, beginning
Frosh Week,
before
beginning.
First year.
Yeah, it's it's nuts. But I can't imagine doing this with anybody else. I was, you know what? I would not want to be anyone else's producer. I know we made a bit of a pact. But I'm glad the pack worked out, because I'm really excited.
The pack,
buddy.
Yes, it did work out. I'm so happy.
Anyway, let's get right into the nitty-gritty. So we are going to be talking about some shows, our favorite shows of 2021 that we have watched. And we're going to talk about them today.
Yes.
To catch you up on what we've been watching.
So how we're going to do this is Aiden is going to talk about his five favorite shows from 2021. And then after, I will talk about my favorite five favorite shows of 2021. And yeah, that's just going to get us started into our season. So
let's do it.
Yeah, you go first, Aiden. So what are your top five shows of 2021? You can go in order.
For my five shows, I will say I have watched a few more movies this year than I have.
I know, I'm disappointed in Aiden. He's a little behind on TV. since our last season.
I'm a little behind a little bit, but there have been a lot of great movies this year. But for the TV shows, I have a few classics. So my first one, this isn't necessarily a classic. This is a pretty recent show. It's called Curb Your Enthusiasm by Larry David.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
I haven't watched that show, Aiden.
I should. I actually don't think you would like the humor, though.
Really? Why would I not like the humor? And what is it about?
So Larry David is the writer of my second favorite show, Seinfeld.
Mm-hmm.
Curb Your Enthusiasm is literally just about his life and his misfortunes. It's made up, but it's very funny, but the jokes are very, very risque. And
like risque is as in how are they risque?
I don't really know if I can say it on the podcast. But risque,
like what type of content, like sexual content?
Yeah, kind of like that. Like jokes about that kind of stuff.
I like that content.
Okay,
though.
Then never mind. You would like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
I like that humor.
It's been on for a very long time. We just got into it recently. It's a very, very funny show.
I mean, technically, it is a 2021 show because the new season came out in 2021,
year.
Right?
Yeah. So it's
season 10, no?
Yeah, I think it's I think
9
more
or 10.
Than that, like 13 maybe?
Oh, really?
It's an old show.
Wow.
But you know, it's a show we watch at dinner. My parents love it. I'm surprised that they like it so much.
Risque humor. The Falkenbergs like risque
humor.
Yeah,
we like risque humor, I guess. But it's like a good show. And for our second favorite show, it's by the same guy, Larry David, Seinfeld.
Wait, he worked on Seinfeld?
That was his big claim to fame, was Seinfeld. Yeah.
No way. Was he like just a writer?
Yeah, he was the writer and creator. So him and Jerry, he's friends of Jerry Seinfeld. And they created the show. He's the character George Costanza is based off Larry David, which I always thought was very funny. They're both very funny shows. I think Seinfeld, aside from a few key scenarios, has actually aged fantastically.
Really?
It's really ahead of its time.
Really? What makes it ahead of its time?
Just the topics that they joke about, I think, make it ahead of its time. Like, what was this one episode? Like, they talk about things like abortion and whatnot. They joke about it. And nowadays, I don't think you'd see a lot of shows that would joke about that and or even discuss that. Like, it's a risque topic. But Seinfeld does it. And it does this back in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Is it similar to, like, Friends, where, like, some jokes can be considered, like, offensive now or, like, not? It wouldn't fly today?
No, you could say that. Absolutely. I think I even talked to some people who have, like, I don't think a lot of our generation watches Seinfeld. Like, we watch, like, new shows. But the people I've watched or I've talked with who have watched Seinfeld have said that some jokes have not aged as well.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which
there
are a few jokes I think would be considered risque.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very, very funny show.
What is it? I never watched Seinfeld, unfortunately, because it's also so long. The thing is, I don't watch, like, long, long shows. So Seinfeld and Curb Your Enthusiasm, Friends, like, I don't really watch. But is it also just, like, about, like, four friends, is it?
It's literally about four friends. You have Jerry Seinfeld, who plays himself. Elaine Benes, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
I heard that was her big break. I heard she's amazing in that
show.
She's
very funny. And then you have Michael Richards, I think, as Kramer.
Kramer, yeah.
And then You have Jason Alexander as George Costanza, who is my favorite character, even if he is kind of a screw up. It's about four friends. It's like, I would say it's better than Friends. Yeah. I do think Seinfeld is better than Friends. Friends, I think, is funny. It's just very light humor. It's like
humor?
Big Bang Theory. Like, I would put it on.
Yeah, I didn't like Big Bang Theory. Or I stopped liking Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory, it's the same thing with Friends. I would really just have it on, like, I don't know, in the background when I'm doing
background
dishes.
But it's not really something you pay attention to.
No, it's not something I would pay attention to.
Yeah.
Seinfeld, however, I would watch during dinner for our laugh. It's very funny. I think a lot of the episodes have aged fantastically, even if it is shot in the 90s. Which even then, I think that's
It's like super influential. Like, I think a lot of sitcoms are inspired by Seinfeld. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And there's a lot of great side characters that I really like. I think overall the show's... I can't even really think of a bad episode for Seinfeld.
Really? All 9 seasons?
All 9 seasons, absolutely.
That's great. That's amazing. Yeah.
And for my third show, Marvel TV show, it is Hawkeye.
Marvel had it big last year in 2021.
Absolutely.
Like, I think 4 shows came out in 2021 for Marvel, I swear. Like, WandaVision, Loki, Hawkeye, and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
A lot of stuff came out. But I will say, Hawkeye is a more, like, compared to the other shows that came out, the stakes aren't as high.
That's what I've heard. I also didn't watch Hawkeye.
I would highly encourage you to, though. Like, it's a very, very good show. I can't believe Kate Bishop, played by Haley Steinfeld. I always thought her name was Haley Seinfeld.
Haley Seinfeld?
I always thought that was her name, but it's not her name.
Haley Steinfeld. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't believe I thought that was her name.
That's hilarious.
Haley Steinfeld.
Steinfeld.
Okay. Oh, jeez. I was scared I was going to mess that up. Yeah, I mean, she plays this woman, Kate Bishop. She's a comic book character that's like Hawkeye. But both her and Jeremy Renner are just phenomenal in the show.
I heard they're really good.
It's a very good show. It's really not... It's like Die Hard. It's not big
stakes.
Die Hard,
really?
Yeah, because it's kind of like a Christmas thing. It's very, very good. I thought it was great overall.
What I did hear was that show started off really slow. That's why a lot of people were kind of iffy about it at first. Is that true, Aiden?
Yeah, it does start off pretty slow. It's not like so-so, like, oh my God, like nothing happens. It's just Hawkeye grocery shopping or whatnot.
Wait, what is it even about?
It's literally about, so Kate Bishop is this the main... I would say Kate Bishop is the main character. So she is training to become an archer. She wants to be like her hero, Hawkeye. And then Hawkeye's retired. He's not an Avenger anymore. So he takes his kids to New York for like a Christmas trip. And then he gets caught up when... I'm going to try and spoil the least amount of details as possible.
Yes.
An old figment
viewers,
of his
me.
Jaded past shows up, which ends up being related to Kate Bishop, and Jeremy Renner's Hawkeye and Kate Bishop have to go on this crazy crime adventure to stop certain events from transpiring related to organized crime. I don't know. I like Marvel. I don't think I like it as much as I did when I was younger or in first year anymore. I don't know. I've moved on to other things.
But I don't know if we mentioned this in our previous episodes, but Mr. Aiden here met Stan Lee.
I did, yeah.
He's famous.
Oh my goodness. That was like almost over... I met him when I was 12. Almost
12. Oh my God.
8 years. Almost 8 years.
Wow. Met the king himself.
Yeah. My brother and my dad and me used to go to this thing called Fan Expo. It's kind of like Canadian
Comic-Con. I love Fan Expo. I've also went there. I don't know if I told you. I went there one time.
And?
It was amazing.
It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I love it. It's basically our Comic-Con.
It is. It's essentially...
our Comic-Con.
It's a Canadian Comic-Con.
But still really good.
Yeah. I remember... I had a lot of good memories at Fan Expo. I remember... meeting Stan Lee was one of the highlights. It was expensive to go see him.
Ooh.
But I said his catchphrase to him, Excelsior, and he said Excelsior back to me. And that was the greatest thing of my life.
Wow.
But I had a lot of good memories at Comic-Con. Like, I met the guy from Back to the Future, the guy, Doc, I forget his name. And then I met Eric Bana, the original Hulk. From like the 90s. That was pretty crazy seeing him. What's it called? I had an awkward encounter at Fan Expo one time. I remember one time I went to Fan Expo. I played Halo 4.
Halo 4?
Yeah,
Fan
that
Expo?
Was
a, that
back in 2012.
Sick.
That was like a huge game. Say what you will about Halo 4. It was pretty... I mean, it was
fun fact. Halo's also being turned into a TV,
it's a TV show. I can't believe it. Actually, I would totally, do an episode on that.
It's still, it still needs to come out. I think this summer or this
March
spring. Next month. Okay. Yeah.
And then I had an awkward Comic-Con encounter with Brandon Routh one time. I feel really bad. We don't think they're going to... I know our podcast isn't that huge. You don't think they're going to listen to this, right?
Imagine they listen to this.
If Brandon Routh ever listens to Binge Watchers, which I don't think he is going to, just know that I think you're a great actor. I had an awkward encounter with him at Comic-Con. Me and my dad went one time, and they had a bunch of famous people. They had T-Dog from Walking Dead, and they had...
T-Dog from Walking Dead.
Yeah, good. Rest in peace, T-Dog. And then they had this guy... Dominic Monaghan, who played Pippin from Lord of the Rings.
Ooh,
or
him?
No, was it Merry or Pippin? I keep getting... One of the Hobbits from
Hobbits. Oh, yeah.
He's an Australian guy.
Sounds familiar.
But they had Brandon Routh there, and everyone was going to see Dominic Monaghan and T-Dog, and no one was going to see Brandon Routh. And he kind of gave me and my dad this awkward wave, and we felt really bad.
Dominic Monaghan.
We felt really bad we didn't go over to say hi to him. But it's like 170, like it's like $70 or $100 for a signature, and we didn't think it was worth the money.
Wait, he's from Lost.
Yeah, he's on Lost.
Oh, well. That's how I knew the name. I'm like, Dominic Monaghan.
He played the rock star. Yeah, it was. Yeah. And he was good on Lost, but he's great on. Yeah. He's great as one of the Hobbits.
Wait, speaking of Marvel. Why don't you talk about the next show on your list?
Oh, yeah, sure. Loki. Oh, Loki was fantastic. I really liked Loki. It was so, so good.
He is one of my favorite villains.
He is pretty kick-ass. And he's great. Like, Tom Hiddleston's fantastic.
I love Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, he's... It was a fantastic show, like, through and through. I mean, I had a blast watching. I think only one person in my family didn't like it. But overall, I loved it. It was a great show.
I heard it was solid.
Very solid. I don't really know how people could say it's not solid. I mean, maybe it's slow in the beginning, but even then, it's not slow.
I heard it's not as slow as like Hawkeye.
No, it's not as slow as Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Overall, I felt it was very solid.
Isn't it tied to like one of the films? Loki?
Yeah, it's tied to the new Ant-Man film. I won't say why, though. I can't say why it's tied to a new Ant-Man film.
No, but like, didn't he... What was that movie where he got like the... Was it
the Tesseract?
The Tesseract, and then he disappeared. What movie?
That's Endgame.
Endgame, so that's like where he went.
Yeah, so he disappears, and then he gets picked up by the TVA, the Time Variance Authority.
Yeah, so Loki essentially follows that. Like, when he touched the Tesseract and disappeared in Endgame, that's where he went.
That's right? Where he went, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a really good show. Overall, I had a blast watching it. The only thing I never liked about the Marvel TV shows is that... It's a thing. It's just Marvel's philosophy is that you have to watch the shows to keep up with the movies. And usually I'd be okay with this, but it's a lot to keep track of. Like, they didn't do that with Daredevil.
Yeah, they didn't do that with Daredevil or, like, the Netflix Marvel
shows. They didn't do that with those, but they do it with their own. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's a lot to keep track of. But, I mean, if you're a Marvel fan, you'll keep track of it anyway. Loki overall, I think, was really good. I would rank it as high as Hawkeye.
Better than Hawkeye, maybe?
Ooh, good question. I wouldn't say it's better than Hawkeye. I'd say it's on par with Hawkeye.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow.
Hawkeye was a very good show. I really liked it.
Wow.
I will say, though, my fifth favorite show, people I don't think are going to know, it's a BBC show based off one of my mom's favorite books called All Creatures Great and Small, and I love it. I love this
show. What a change of pace. You talked about sitcoms and Marvel to
and now it's
BBC.
A BBC historic drama.
Yeah,
it's not even a drama. Like, it's like this. It's almost like a sitcom. Like, it's a comedy. It's a comedy.
I remember in the beginning when we were doing our past seasons, you told me to watch it because you were just raving about it.
It
is like a hot cup of cocoa. Is that what you said?
I said it is the hot chocolate equivalent of television.
Wow,
2000%.
If that doesn't get you on board, I don't know what will.
Honestly, if I ever wanted it's a great feel good show. It's based off this book of the same name called All Creatures Great and Small, and it's like it's a strange book because it's written. The author is the main character of the book. This guy James Herriot, and he's the main character of the book. And the book's all about his adventures as a vet in rural England. But the show's just great. Like, those likable characters. Neville from friggin' Harry Potter shows up. He's kind of a dingus.
Oh, I love him.
He
sucks.
And he's actually a bit of a meanie.
Oh, really?
I just call him a meanie boo. He sucks. That's
when you know we can't swear.
Yeah, we can't swear on this. It's a great show.
What is it about? I never knew what it was about.
So this guy, James Herriot, the author of the book, is the main character, and it's literally just his adventures as a vet in rural England. That is literally the entire show. And so he gets picked up at this... I think it's 29 Dowerby is where he works with these two other guys. This guy, Siegfried, and his brother, Tristan, and this woman, Mrs. Hall. And they run a vet in rural England. And essentially, that's the premise of the show. And each episode's a different thing. I will say, it's like Down Abbey. It's very formulaic. James will get into all kinds of mischief. And then and then Siegfried will be all like, oh, James, I cannot believe you're doing this. That's not what a proper vet does.
Wow, and we love that British accent.
Thank you. And then Tristan's like, oh, big brother, you don't have to be so like crossing sometimes. And then Mrs. Hall comes in and she's like, boys, break it up. You cannot be talking like this. You're brothers. And
what?
Then,
it's so critically acclaimed. I see on Rotten Tomatoes it has like high 90s. Like everyone, all the critics love it.
I feel bad making fun of it. Overall, it's just a fantastic, fantastic show. I really, other than the fact that I can kind of predict what happens because I've watched it so much, like literally my bad British accent was pretty much what happens in the show. Pretty much.
Really? That's all.
But other than that, like, it's a good show.
Characters are what makes it. It's more of a character show than a plot show, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's more of a character show. Like, it doesn't. The plot really doesn't matter to the show at all. It's just they have to help a cow. The plot of the episode is how they help an animal. Like, there's one episode where he has to put down a horse. A cat broke its foot. It's like really mundane stuff, but the characters are so likable.
And so sweet.
And so sweet.
Make you feel like a family.
Yeah, they make you feel like a family. And that's actually very astute, Deku. Yeah. They do make you feel like a family.
Yeah.
Overall, it's a very good show. But now I want to hear about what Deku's top five
shows. Yes, so I have my top five favorite shows, and mine are ranked. So I'm going to go from 5 to 1.
Let's hear it.
And they are all shows that have new seasons coming out that came out in 2021, or they're new shows from 2021. So number 5, it is called Dickinson.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to talk too much about it for time's sake and because we did a whole episode on it. So check that out in season 2. But if you don't already know, Dickinson follows the life of Emily Dickinson. And just like her life in Amherst, Massachusetts, you know, being an artist and like dealing with family issues and creativity and love and being misunderstood as a woman. And it also stars Hailee Steinfeld, which you remember, Aiden, because you watched a little bit of it.
I did. I quite liked it. It was really, really good. Well, okay, that's a show.
Amazing.
That's a show I got a cop on.
And it just keeps getting just as good, if not better, than all the, like, just as it goes on. It is amazing.
Oh, my God.
It is amazing.
I definitely should watch that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Emily Dickinson is such, I got really into poetry, like, this year. And I got into, obviously, with, like, my new show. I got into writing a lot. I've always been into writing, but Emily Dickinson is just like such a poet and such, well, that's that's obvious, but like her prose is very like luscious and just deep, and sometimes it's hard to understand, but she's influential for a reason. And for her being a woman and her being sort of like reclusive, this is sort of like, you know what's funny about Dickinson, which you find out in the end, it's not a spoiler, but you find out that the entire series happens before she became the Emily Dickinson that we know. So the Emily Dickinson that we know in pop culture is her like in a white dress, and she secludes herself writing her poetry in her room for the rest of her life until she died. And this shows essentially how vibrant and how imaginative her life was before that. So yeah, it got really deep there, but
it's a very good show.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, I don't know if you remember from the first season, but they have like these like imaginative dream sequences.
Was with Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah, as Death. Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about that. I don't think his music's that bad.
I think there's like one Wiz Khalifa song on the soundtrack, but yeah,
it does the thing that Bridgerton does with remixing old songs. I think it's pretty cool.
But yeah, catch up on Dickinson, Aiden. It is such an underrated show. It is on Apple TV Plus. All 3 seasons are available there. And check it out. It's one of the most inventive, imaginative shows you'll ever see, actually, because you know, she's a very unconventional person, and the show is very unconventional in its, in and of itself.
Okay, so, I'll definitely give it a watch. Absolutely.
Number four on my list is a show that Aiden and I both watched. I didn't even know you watched it, Aiden.
I think this is a great show.
It is called Mayor of Easttown, starring Kate Winslet.
Yeah, very, very good show. Very, very good.
So this show essentially follows Kate Winslet. She is a struggling detective who is, like, the plot on the surface seems pretty standard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's about her trying to discover and find out the murder of a close friend's daughter or something mm-hmm. like that. A young teenage girl. And it's essentially all the twists and turns that come with that in this small town.
Mm-hmm.
And is there anything else I'm missing? It's been a while since I watched it.
It's a fantastic show.
Like, in terms of the plot? No, I think
I'm being honest, I don't even remember the plot that well myself.
Josh just came unprepared.
Yeah, I can't believe it. It's
I think I nailed it. Like, she's a struggling detective. She had a hard past and a hard family life beforehand. And she's trying to prove herself as a detective, trying to solve this elaborate case.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about the show is that despite, and why it became so big is, even though it sounds like your typical murder mystery,
mm-hmm.
it is so densely layered in terms of the acting, the characters, the setting. Like, it has so much attention to detail to mm-hmm. it. And Kate Winslet's performance, I know we've seen her in so many things, but she really gives it her all in this
show. She knocks it out of the park.
What I love about the show is, like, stick with it after the first episode, because I don't know if you remember, Aiden, but the first episode, it didn't really focus on the plot. And, like, usually, like, maybe for other shows that might be a problem,
mm-hmm.
but for Mayor of Easttown, I think it's perfect, because it lets you absorb the setting, it lets you absorb the characters mm-hmm. and who they are, and it just hooks you in. And then once the plot starts going from episode 2 onwards, there's 7 episodes, so on Crave if you're in Canada, or on HBO Max if you're in the States, it just keeps you going, it keeps you hooked till the end. I just loved it. It is a show, trust me, that will keep you guessing. Like, literally my parents and I were just, like, thinking about, what's it called, trying to guess who it was, like, every single character. We're like, this person did it, or this person did it, mm-hmm. stuff like that. But anyways, number 3 on our list is, or my list, is the 3rd season of Sex Education. Aiden, have you watched Sex Education?
I have not watched Sex Education.
You have not watched
Sex Education? No, I should. Oh,
it is amazing. Oh my gosh. It is essentially about these high school students living in a British high school. Or, like, yeah, attending a British high school follows mm-hmm. various characters. It follows, what's his name? Asa Butterfield is the main actor. And he plays Otis.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a sex therapist mom, which causes a lot of complications for his mm-hmm. personal life. Yeah, so he has a sex therapist mom. And because he gains so much knowledge from her, when the students at his school start having problems with sex, or, like, have questions about sex, he sort of helps them out with it. You know, he gives them sex education advice.
That's the plot?
That is the plot, yeah. Sex education advice, yeah. That is the plot.
That I did not know that.
You did not know that? That's the whole, that's the basic plot of it. It's obviously so much more than that. It's an ensemble cast. All the characters, if you watched it, all the characters are interesting. It is very, very diverse. And every episode, it sort of tackles a new sort of concept and idea of sex.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, stuff about, like, how to please yourself, how to please your partner, consent, asexuality, like, everything.
Sex education,
literally. Yeah, I'm essentially just dragging it on. But yeah, it's just amazing, and it's so funny. And this 3rd season, I don't want to spoil it since you haven't watched the first two, but the characters are just as lovely. There's new characters that are introduced that are also very diverse that just make it amazing.
Nice.
So you have to watch it, Aiden.
I will.
All 3 seasons are available on Netflix.
I will definitely watch it.
Yeah. Number 2 on my list is actually multiple shows in the same franchise. And it is my favorite reality show of all time. Aiden, you already know this.
Oh, I know this.
It is RuPaul's Drag Race.
See, this is a show I have to watch.
This is a show you have to watch. I'm surprised you haven't watched it, because Drag Race has become so incredibly big in the last year. Like, it is one of the biggest reality competition shows. like currently, if not of all time, because it like has won, I swear, every single reality show Emmy, mm-hmm. like since for years now. And they just, what's amazing about Drag Race is that not only is there, so you've heard of the main US series, right? Mm-hmm. But what you don't know is that the production company, WOW Presents, creates spin-off shows in different countries, which is really, really cool. So not only did I watch US, but I watched the US All-Stars, which is essentially all-star contestants coming back to redeem themselves and hopefully have a second chance to win the crown. Mm-hmm. Then there's RuPaul's Drag Race UK, which RuPaul flies over to the UK and then, you know, hosts his reality RuPaul's Drag Race there in that country. And then there's also Canada's Drag Race. Mm-hmm. So Aiden, you have to watch that. You have to support the Canadian Drag Race.
I do. I have to support the Canadian Drag Race. I gotta do that.
It is amazing. And all these shows are just all, every single spinoff, every, like, literally, if I'm like, if I'm not watching any other show, it is Drag Race. Like, Drag Race is the one that I watch the most of. There have been, I think, like, I swear, like 5 or 6 seasons that came out in the past year. That's how prolific they are now. Wow. Yeah. Like, starting in 2021 when season 13 came out, and then All Stars came out in the summer, then UK and Canada came out in the fall, and so much more. I think there's like also like a Holland season that came out.
Wow.
Yeah, RuPaul's Drag Race took over Holland, took over Thailand, Italy, Spain, all these Drag Race. Too much Drag Race. Some people think there's too much Drag Race, but I think there's not enough. Like, I think there can never be enough.
Not enough Drag Race?
Yeah, not enough Drag Race. And yeah, if you don't already know what Drag Race is, Drag Race follows, like, RuPaul hosts a show where drag queens compete to be America or whatever country's next drag superstar. So they do everything from, you know, acting, performing, lip-syncing, mm-hmm. fashion, all of it.
Yeah.
So, which is amazing. And for our number one show, this, I love how I'm ending it off with this.
Yeah, because, do it.
Because, you know, we already talked about Vibe Check, but the show that I was referencing in terms of what inspired Vibe Check possibly the most is another show we talked about in our last episode.
Yeah.
And that is called It's a Sin.
Mm-hmm.
So if you remember the Aiden, I think that was like our
one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, one of our favorite shows and one of the best episodes Binge Watchers has ever recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah. And It's a Sin essentially is follows three, four friends, most of them gay men, living. They moved together in a communal home in 1980s London, I think, trying to pursue their careers and their life's purpose. Yeah, while living in a communal home. But instead, that shows a historical drama that is set during the AIDS crisis. Mm-hmm. And as you can tell, that show meant so much to me. If you listen to our last episode, that show still sticks with me, I think, to this day.
It's a fantastic show, easily one of the best shows I have ever watched.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, that came out early 2021, and it's still reigned to the top of my favorite show of 2021.
But yeah, it's phenomenal. But yeah, what is coming next for Binge Watchers, DQ?
What is coming next? Oh my gosh, I don't know yet, Aiden. I think what we should do is we should talk about the hot new shows that are out right now that I think you should watch. And I think we should do a show about an episode on teen shows and dark teen shows.
Like, I wouldn't mind doing that. That sounds like a great idea, DQ.
And season 2 is currently out of Euphoria, and it is amazing.
Yeah,
and I also like am inspired by that show and that in their visual style. Mm-hmm. Also gives Vibe Check vibes.
It is.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's one other thing we want to do. So one of the things that we upgraded for our podcast was our art.
Our art.
We had DQ as our resident artist doing all our cover art and thumbnails.
It was a lot.
But quite recently, we got another person on board to help us out. A very close friend of mine named Brian Ho. Brian Ho's birthday is coming up. If by the time he listens to this, it'll probably already be his birthday. We just want to thank Brian from the bottom of our hearts. Thank him for the art. Like, he is such a great part of the team, and we just want to tell him how much we appreciate him. And also, I want to say how much of a butt-kicking friend he is. Because he's, Brian, mm-hmm. if you're listening to this, you're the best, buddy. And happy birthday, buddy. Happy birthday.
Yay, we have a new artist. Thank you so much, Brian. I haven't met you yet, but I heard great things from Aiden.
Yes, I'd say nothing but great things.
Yeah. So glad that we have an artist on board, another addition to our Binge Watchers family, our Binge Watchers team. So, yeah, absolutely great.
On that note, that is our first episode.
That is our first episode
of season three.
I'm winded already. Like, we talked so much TV today.
We just really delved into some awesome stuff, and we're really excited to kick off this this third season with some more stuff, and we're really looking forward to episode two.
Episode two, if Aiden starts catching up on TV and watches Euphoria.
Yes, I will catch up on TV, absolutely. Anyway, yeah. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening, and have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Bye.